Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem, Shalom Bayis, Shir number 552, in the book Binyan Bayis, The Living Marriage. And we're going to start with lesson one of 10 lessons. Lesson one is introduction to marriage, why we get married. And this is important to listen to, even if you're married for decades. Why do we get married? People simply reply often, even married people, if you ask that question, they hesitate to answer. And some reply, well, everyone gets married. Some apologetically admit that they were under a lot of pressure from their parents. Others take a more from religious approach, saying that's Ratzon Hashem. Another one will say, well, that's the way to be Mekayem the Mitzvah Pruvu, and to have children. Others believe that it gives one an opportunity to be mesaken your midos, to give you more better character traits, like being a nice and giving and having patience and being a sovelin. There's truth to all these points. And truth is, Rav Avigdor Miller and his marriage, Shiurim, gave a lot on that part of improving one's character. And it is the Ratzon Hashem. And it's to be mesaken midos, and it's to bring children to the world. And not wrong in those cases, but if they think that's the shayrish of it, the reason, that's a big fundamental mistake. None of these are the real reason. And this from Moshe Shatarowitz said he was amazed. Young men who always told him that they're getting married to do the Ratzon Hashem, like you're doing a favor to Hashem to get married. Truth is, it's a reverse. Hashem is giving us an opportunity to get married because he wants to give us the greater good. Gives a mashal, someone, if you want to do your friend a favor, friend needs a favor from you. They don't have a car, and you tell them, you know, you could borrow the car for 2 weeks, but please take good care of it. And when you return, he informs you that he did what you asked. He gave back the keys, and he's walking away. And you're amazed. He didn't even say thank you. So you want to make sure you ask him, did you use the car? He says, not only did he use it, it improved the quality of his life in many ways. He rides to shul on time. He was able to learn more svarim and saved a lot of time. So you innocently ask, if I helped you so much, why didn't you just even say thank you? And he looked back at you in amazement and says, what do you mean, me? I should say to thank you. You should thank me. You asked me to watch your car for 2 weeks, and I fulfilled your request perfectly. There's not even a scratch on the car. See, this is the state of many young men who get married because Hashem commanded them. Yes, Hashem commanded them. But Hashem's command was only to give you the greatest gift and to appreciate it properly. This is a misconception that we have as Jews overall. The daily goodness that Hashem showers upon us. Does Hashem want us to enjoy the good he gives us in this world? The answer is yes, he does. He wants us to enjoy the good that he gives us in this world. Now, often, and it's Christian influence, or for the most part, that innocent Jews are led to believe, no, you cannot enjoy any good that Hashem gives you. It's all for his sake, to serve him selflessly, without any personal enjoyment whatsoever. That is a shayrish, a tremendous mistake. It denies the essence of the relationship that Hashem offers us. Hashem gives us goodness and wants us to enjoy the good, wants us to appreciate it as an expression of his goodness. This thought, by the way, takes it out of the shaloi lishma realm. This makes pleasure not an end of itself, but an appreciation to Hashem for the pleasure that's the main nekuda. And the whole Torah expresses this idea all along. The Chovos HaLevavos talks about this again and again and again. So often. Shaar Bechinah in particular, but in all the Sha'arim, to awaken yourself to Hashem by recognizing and appreciating all the goodness he gives to each of us day in and day out. If a person says, I don't want any pleasure for anything you give me, Hashem, or you're done for me, you're missing the essence of the relationship. So you think you're doing Hashem a favor. Oh, I'm giving it up to you. I'm doing you a favor. You're missing the point. Of course it's the Ratzon Hashem. But if you enter marriage, You have to go into marriage appreciating it, being excited about it, recognizing you are about to receive a great gift from Hashem and bring it you to your best potential. And sadly, 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 when you have in those rare occasions, well, it's unfortunately not so rare anymore, but it should be non-existent. A person that is abusive, they're taking this gift and this, they're spitting in Hashem's face with it, and you're hurting the other person. You're hurting the person you're abusing. And we're not going to get into those hashkafa concepts right now, because again, we're talking now under the correct mahalach of how a husband and wife need to be trained in going into their marriage with a pure heart, with skills, and with understanding. Someone who knows or is aware, or other people are aware, that they have these tendencies of being verbally abusive and physically abusive or narcissistic, they should not be in shidduchim, period, until they fix their wagon. But the idea being is that the purpose of it is to appreciate the chesed of it that Hashem is doing for you. And the great chesed that this, the great heights of chesed and hakaras hatov that could come through a healthy, beautiful marriage. Now, it says a person that does not have a wife is not an Adam. Einai Adam. Einai Adam. Basically, a husband and a wife is one complete person. A person has, a man is born with a male body and male expressions. Has some femininity in him too, in some men more than others, but there's an aspect of female missing in him. And on his wedding day, he receives that second half, the female half. So to a woman was born with her female body and her femininity, lacking, although she may have some masculine qualities, but she's lacking that. And she becomes a complete person when she unites with her husband on her wedding day. That's called the hiskalos, the integration of the feminine and masculine energy. Now we have in our Panimi women's group, Mrs. Davis, that explains beautifully based on a book about feminine and masculine energy that they both contribute to bring a whole unified whole. It says, "Kol isha naisa isha." Every man that marries a woman, kol echad nikra mitchil chati adam. That called a half of a person. This is the Maral in Chan Chumash. Ki zachar b'loy nikeva plag gufa mikri. A male without the female is a half a body. Va'ata, and now guf shalim, and now they merge as a complete body, bria chadasha, as a new creation of both together. A car can't go with just two left wheels or just a half an engine. Car would be useless. That's what an unmarried person is. Now, it's strange because an unmarried person seems to be complete, seems to be independent, seems to be fully functioning. But he brings a mushel, very interesting. Let's say the man could only see and not hear, and the woman could hear and not see. The man could taste but not smell, and the woman could smell but not taste. And on the wedding day, all of a sudden, a husband who never experienced hearing and smelling starts experiencing it. And a wife who never experienced sight or taste starts experiencing it. But let's say they still don't know it. They go to buy a refrigerator. He sees a beautiful one. Wife rejects it because it makes such strange noises. Husband says, you open your eyes, you could see how beautiful the refrigerator is. That's what happens in marriage. Now, each one, Baruch Hashem, has their own full five senses of hearing and sight and everything else, but they are missing qualities in themselves that they really don't recognize until they're married. Knowing because you live with a mother or a sister won't do it. It's the marriage itself that integrates that female quality in the man and the male quality in the woman. And men naturally perceive their male qualities and look at the world with that masculine expression, and the woman identifies with the feminine. And they each stubbornly only relate to their own natural perceptions. And the Torah is telling us that marriage is the only way for an individual to achieve that proper completion, the higher state of being called Adam. The way he gives another beautiful mashal is if you have a small two-band instrument, a piano and a violin, they each create a beautiful harmony that transcends just the piano or just the violin. Yes, let's say that you have a big concerto piece of music. There'll be moments where the piano expresses the main role. The piano is playing alone for a little bit. Or the violin is playing for a little bit on its own as part of a big piece of music, where one is silent, the other one takes over. Yes. But if they both do it together in a beautiful harmony when they both do it together. But if the two musicians ignore each other, each one desiring to show just how beautiful my sound is, it'll be one loud, disturbing sound. It won't be called music. So too, a married couple is a combination of male and female. Each holds their own qualities, but unifies the completion which is greater than in their individual parts. They are still individuals, special on their own, but then they need to be united to create a new beautiful whole. That is why it says, "Kol Adam she'en lo isha shari b'lay simcha, or b'lay taiva, or b'lay bracha." He does not have. If a person does not have a wife, does not have simcha, does not have blessing, does not have goodness, does not have taira, does not have a wall, a protection, and does not have shalom. That's the state of a man without a wife. Now, the Stipler says something amazing here. Again, it's so important. This is where Shimush Chachamim is, because sometimes you don't see these things written in the written word of Svarim. But you have someone like him, the author of this Sefer, that spoke directly to him and heard it, and it was given over this way. So listen to this carefully. It says that Ramosha, the author of this book, asked the Stipler once. He says he doesn't understand. He says so many people have wives and still they have these characteristics. They're without simcha, they're without bracha, they're without toiva, they're without taira, they're without chayma, they don't have that protective wall and they fall into things and they don't have shalom. But they're married. So what does the Chazal mean? It says when you marry, these things don't happen anymore. And the Stipler answered as follows. Do you think the Gemara is only speaking about men who are not yet married? This Chazal is describing any man who has come to the point that he is ready to get married and has not yet found his wife, but it also includes a man who is married but is living without Shalom Bayis. A married man lacking Shalom Bayis is also living without a wife. So call Adam any man, she'en lo isha, he does not have a wife. He could be a married man for decades. He still does not have a wife because he never learned the basic derech eretz and skill to be a mensch, as a husband, does not have the shalom bias, so he does not have a wife. And he is shari without simcha, without bracha, without toiva, even if he's married for decades. So you see from the Stipler's words here, the essential lesson about the essence of marriage. It's not the automatic result of a couple all of a sudden living together on the same roof. But it's working together to achieve an inner state of harmony. That each of the couple enters the relationship as an individual, their own unique male or female qualities and perspectives, and marriage calls them to unify into greater unity, to be a complete Adam, and that's their Hatzlacha. That's what it means. A man without a wife is a broken vessel lacking that quality of Shlemus. And the Stipler taught that a man who is not unified with his wife, a married man who is not unified with his wife, is also a man without a wife. He's not a complete Adam, and he will be missing these brachos of blessings and happiness and success. And unfortunately, you see, when people suffer from this lack of shalom bayis, it's that. That's what it is. That's what it is. Another thing we see, and we'll end off the shir here, that we find a man whose business is flourishing, and he's matzliach in his learning, and finds happiness in all his endeavors. What's the source of all that taiva? The Chazal warn, don't make the mistake to believe that it's because of your seichel, or even your good qualities. It's as a result of one's wife. Bracha v'atzlacha.